Well, good morning and pleasure to see you in church this Sunday. Today we turn our attention to one of the most famous parables that Jesus told, the parable of the sower and the four soils. I'm actually not sure what the proper name for it was or what Jesus would have called it, but that's what I'm going to call it. Matthew, Mark and Luke each record this parable, so it was obviously important. It's just a simple story, but believe it or not, it's widely misunderstood. We're going to make an attempt to understand it correctly today, but we need the Lord's help. So let's pray as we turn to it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity of sitting under your word, and that is what we do. We don't sit above it, judging it. We want it to sit in judgment of us. So we want it to correct us. We know this is your word, inspired and inerrant. We want to feed on this. This is nourishment for our souls. May it correct any wayward hearts in us. May it set a course ahead so that we might be like Jesus as a result of knowing and applying this to our lives. We thank you and praise you in his name. Amen. Well, we're about to read a parable of Jesus together. The parables were simple fictional stories that make usually one main spiritual truth. Even though they're simple stories, that doesn't mean they're always easy to understand. They were widely misunderstood in the time of Jesus, and they are today as well. People found them confusing when Jesus told them. Even his disciples will find out here. But there are two main elements to the story that we're about to read. There's a farmer who sows seed, and there is soil which receives that seed. Various types of soil. In this parable, there's only one type of seed, but there are various types of soil receiving that seed, and that's important for the meaning Jesus gives. But before we get to the parable, let's make clear the parables are fictional stories. So this is the parable of a farmer sowing seed. There's not a historical farmer, a real man that Jesus knew. He's not telling the biography of someone who did something. It's a made-up story. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke accurately record this parable, and it's a spiritual truth, an eternal spiritual truth, which Jesus expects his hearers to put into action, to apply to our lives. And that's what we must do today. It's the parable of a sower who scatters seed and soils, various kinds of soils. Some very good, well, at least one very good, and several not so good. Let's analyze them and understand them together. The parable of the sower and the soils from Mark chapter 4. Read it with me from verse 1. Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still other seed fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Later, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with the others who were gathered around, they asked him what the parables meant. He replied, you are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God, but I use parables for everything I say to outsiders, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven. Then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things. So no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produced a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then Jesus asked them, "Would anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket or under a bed? Of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light will shine. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." Then he added, "Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them." That's God's word to us, and may he bless us in the hearing and application of it. Well, the events of Mark chapter 4 are set around the Sea of Galilee. This is in the northern region of Israel, which was under the control of the Romans at this time. And it was a trade route, so it was quite important. Lots and lots of people came through here. The Sea of Galilee isn't technically a sea at all. It's a freshwater lake. It's the lowest freshwater lake in the world, a couple hundred metres below sea level. Jordan River enters it from Mount Hermon way up in the north. It just flows down, and the other tributaries flow down into the Jordan River, which enters the Sea of Galilee. It's about 20 k's long and about 12 k's wide. It's a very fertile place, and that's important for this story, obviously, because it's an agricultural story. Large parts of Israel were terrible for growing crops. It was not great land. But here, fresh water, and so the crops thrive. And so Jesus meets lots of farmers, and he uses this agricultural parable for them, which must have sounded fairly simple to them. I actually wonder whether any of them got much out of a parable about a farmer sowing seed. It was very, very simple. The meaning, however, may have escaped many of them, certainly the disciples. Some would get it, and I wonder if you do. Let's go through the soils once again so we're clear. And the key to this is that the soils represent human hearts, or should we say the response of the human heart to the preaching of God's word, to what God has to say to them. And the soil, the first one, is the hardened heart. And these are people who are bound by Satan. They just don't see. They are blinded by him. The things of God come and go in their midst every day. People, events. And they just don't see. They're in the other kingdom and they like it there. Well, the second soil, that forlorn-looking fellow there. These are people who love Jesus, whatever, it benefits them. But when tough times come, they bail out. These are the ones who have a shallow heart, fair-weather friends. The third soil is the distracted heart. It's received well, the word of God, the seed of this preaching of the gospel. But there are so many other good things in the world to enjoy your time, to spend your time doing. They just produce no good fruit. They're just too busy. It's not that tough times have turned them away. They're actually lured away by all the other good stuff the world has to offer. And then there's the good soil, the genuine heart. It receives the seed, it grows and bears good fruit. And this is the man or woman who receives the word of God, hears the preaching of the gospel, and responds positively to it. This makes sense to them. It's a good thing. I should embrace it. That's the good soil. Four ways people will respond to the gospel. And once again, Jesus is sitting in a fishing boat, talking to people who are standing on the shore. And it's worth noting that he begins with a command to them. Listen. It's a command. Listen to what I'm about to say. This is verse 3. A farmer went out to plant some seed. So he tells them to listen, and he tells them a parable about people who listen in various ways, in four kinds of ways. Listen to me, he says. People will listen in four kinds of ways. Which one are you? Some will listen well, some won't listen at all. There was a case recently of a Dutch girl who died in a bungee jumping accident in Spain, which was absolutely preventable. She was in Spain, but she's Dutch, and they're both trying to speak English to each other, the lingua franca, the common language. The Spanish instructor said to her, "No jump," and she thought he said, "Now jump." And for some reason, before the cord was even attached to her, she dived off to her death. True story, yeah. She plunged off the bridge. Just a simple misunderstanding of one word. That's one kind of listening. Paying attention, but not understanding. Well, is that what Jesus is talking about here? Well, it could include that, but he's saying so much more, isn't he? Verse 4, as he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Jesus gives his explanation to that in verse 15. So instead of putting all of this on one screen, tiny words, let's jump backwards and forwards to the parable and its meaning. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message. This is verse 15. Only to have Satan come at once and take it away. So what we understand from this, from the mouth of Jesus, is that hearing the word of God is a matter of spiritual warfare because Satan does not want it to happen. And so he devises strategies to stop people hearing properly. He's going to crowd you out with lots of noise. And it's not difficult to do that when the soil is concrete to begin with. And how does Satan do this? This subtly crowding out the word of God. Well, he does it by undermining the Bible, firstly, the authority of God's word. The world says it, and now it's creeping into the church. I don't think you can trust this book. I think they've changed it too often, or it wasn't meant to be definitive the way you're preaching it. Satan undermines our confidence in God's word. And if you do not start with what's known as the presupposition, or the if your beginning place is not that you can trust the Bible, then you will be very bad soil indeed for what it says. Satan also knows how to undermine the credibility of Christians. And unfortunately, a few of us are handing him the bullets to fire. Be on your guard. Our enemy is very clever and people are always watching. Satan undermines our confidence in creation. It's not just the word that we hear preached, but the world that we see around us. There's no God that created this. It all happened by itself. And people believe this. What is sown by God is snatched by Satan. He intercepts it somehow. He undoes what God is doing. But that's on the hard footpaths. There are other kinds of soil. Satan is not in control here, but he's a player in this great cosmic game. Game's not the right word, but you know, this battle. And he has other techniques for these other soils. But let's highlight this. You are in a spiritual war zone. And the battle is over your heart. The word of God is coming to you. And what are you doing with it? Do you reject it? Do you ignore it? Do you ridicule it? Don't be naive. The Christian is in a battle, in a spiritual battle. And you're at the center of it. You have the weapons you need and the enemy fights back. But the first thing you need to do is to decide what you're going to do with the seed. In other words, the gospel being preached to you. What will you do when you hear the gospel being preached? The death and resurrection of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. Does that mean anything to you? When you hear that, are you good soil? And do you produce godly fruit? Will that take root in you or not? Well, there's a second soil that Jesus spoke about. Verse 5. Other seed fell on shallow soil, and it had underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. And who are these people? These are the fair-weather friends of Jesus, the bandwagoners. They love following Jesus, while ever things are easy. Which just makes me ask the question, when are they actually really easy? As a Christian, in the Christian life. Jesus tells us, verse 16, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. They go forward at that crusade straight away. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems. That's not going to survive a night's sleep, that kind of thinking, is it? Falling away as soon as you have a problem. Or are persecuted for believing God's word. These people will hang out where the crowd is. And if the crowd is a Christian crowd, they will tag along because there's safety in numbers. Whatever, it's popular and it works in their favour. But what kills their faith is when they personally receive opposition from the world, any kind of pushback. They're shallow-rooted and they cannot survive when the cold winds blow. Because Jesus promises, though, to strengthen us and protect us, but these guys are knocked over really, really early because the soil is too shallow. It's not probably saving faith that these people have, not true saving faith. They have a shallow kind of acceptance. Jesus says these ones don't last long. So in the church, we can talk about the visible church and the mystical church, which is just a word someone invented for the church, the true Christians as God knows them, as opposed to what we think is the true church. God keeps the real score. And there is a difference between people who visibly seem to be in favour of Jesus and following him and those God truly knows are his remnant. They fall away as soon as they have problems. They don't last long. Everyone has problems. Don't you fall away when those problems come to your door. Take the warnings seriously here, not from me, but from God's word. Problems will come, but then, what is your response? Well, there's a third kind of soil. Let's look at it. Verse 7. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants so that they produced no grain. They're tender plants. They're young. And it's easy to destroy the young. You don't have to do much. They can't protect themselves quite as well. An old tree, not so easy. We chopped down trees here. We're about to do it again. We went over there with a chainsaw and chopped a whole bunch of trees that were threatening to fall on our building. And as soon as we chopped them, and I mean within minutes, I poured diesel and Roundup down them. They grew back somehow. Anyway, we're going to go and chop them down again at some point. Young plants is very different. With a very young plant, you could kill it by treading on it. The old ones, not so easy to get rid of. And even when you cut them down to a stump, we've seen that here, they still sprout and everything. So what does Jesus tell us about these tender plants? Verse 18, the seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. Young Christians are very easily distracted. So are older ones, but they're probably older people who become Christians late in life, but they're still immature in the faith. Young Christians must be fed correctly and no obstacles put in their way, and then they'll grow properly. And then look at them, verse 19, anxiety. Look at the things Jesus says are the great stumbling blocks to a young Christian's life. Anxiety. Do you know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus is dealing with anxiety, something our generation thinks just came about now. It's been there this whole time. How can I focus on God with all this other stuff is happening? Well, because God is in control. That's how. Sometimes the anxiety of young Christians is over unknown things in the future, things that aren't even going to happen probably. We still have anxiety about those things. God's word is being crowded out when that happens. And we learn to rely on something else, usually ourselves. And that's sad. Wealth is another one Jesus mentions. He mentions this quite a lot, doesn't he? Wealth is something that crowds out the fruit that a young Christian should produce. My goal in life is to become financially secure. No, it isn't. Your goal in life is to produce good fruit. Whether you have a lot of money or no money, you can still produce good fruit. Young Christians must have nothing put in their way which will overcrowd the Word of God. Anxiety, riches, or what does he say here, just desire for other things, where those are fed to young believers, to tender believers, then verse 19, no fruit is produced. And I want you to notice this. Three quarters of the soils reject the seed ultimately, 75% of them. And the seed is the gospel. So we can understand what Jesus is saying here to his disciples, the 12 and the others who are following him. You go out with the gospel message, which is the seed. You go out and you scatter the seed, and mostly people are going to reject that seed. They're going to reject the word of God. Get ready for it. You scatter it far and wide. Some of it will land in weird places, places you probably didn't intend when you set out that day. That's okay. It goes everywhere. But don't be surprised if people reject your message. If I understand it correctly, this is normal, Jesus is saying. It's normal to have pushback from the world and, in some cases, even from within the church, because they are here in that shallow soil, bandwagoners. They're here and they won't last. You'll get pushback even in the church sometimes. But the seed must go out to everyone, Jesus says. So don't stop scattering. Not just to those who are welcoming, not just to those you are sure will come to faith in the future. The seed goes out everywhere to everyone. And everyone is called to repentance. We are not the judge of who will and who won't bear good fruit. The Lord of the harvest does that. You might recall that when the first COVID lockdown began, I was actually in Nepal teaching the latest batch of church planters. This was March 2020. And when our Prime Minister said we're going into lockdown, we flew home and got in that morning. It was a Saturday night, I think, the lockdown happened. We flew in, got in that morning, got home ready for the exciting lockdown. Here's a group of photo of all of those batches of pastors I was teaching there in March of 2020. One pastor who was there right from the beginning was this man. His name is Bhandari Deepak. He studied hard. He would often, when I'd ask a question, he would often answer. He knew the Bible really well. He'd done some kind of Bible training or Bible college or something. He was encouraging to the other pastors. I think he was becoming a leader among those pastors. And then when the money ran out, he disappeared from the program. But we're friends on Facebook, so I get to snoop in on him from time to time, which is what I think social media is. That's where it really comes into its own, doesn't it? All of his posts nowadays are from the core of false religions. And he swings from Buddhism, which is one of his posts there on the left, to Hinduism in the middle, and his favourite is the Bhagwan. Do you remember him, the orange people? Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh. I think he's a Bhagwani or a Rajneeshi or whatever they're called. He seems to have become a follower of the Bhagwan now. As soon as the money ran out, he was gone. And he proved not to be faithful. He proved to have shallow soil indeed. And he knew the truth from what I could see anyway. This is exactly what Jesus is describing. Don't be surprised if people reject your message, or if they receive it in the beginning and then fall away. It may be wealth. That may be why he fell away. It may be wealth. It may be persecution. Perhaps he couldn't handle it in the part of Nepal he lived in. It could be anxiety. It just could be desire for something else. But something is reaching out for the seed that has been scattered and it's being snatched away from that man. And you need to know this because you are in a war zone. And as exciting as going onto the world mission field seems, it's not always successful the way we measure success. Some of it's very, very disappointing. But the Lord of the harvest is responsible for the fruit, not me. My job is what? To scatter the seed. My job is to scatter it everywhere I go and let God take care of the results. Well, let's not forget the fourth kind of soil. The happy guy, the one with the big smile on his face, well, he must be the good soil. Verse 8, still, let me go back. I'll just go back and read that. Here he is, verse 8. the good soil. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. And verse 20 is where Jesus gives his explanation. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Christians grow and they expand the work of the kingdom of God. More specifically, God produces a harvest in them. You don't save people, you know that. But God is going to send you to work and use what you do to accomplish his will. You are to hear God's word. You are to accept God's word. You are to scatter God's word. Verse 24, then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given. And you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. So not only are we in a war zone, we're in a time frame. The time is ticking away, and God is watching what you do with his word, the seed that has been scattered to you. This may be your first day in church. You may have been in church all your life or somewhere in between, but the principle is the same. Jesus calls for a response from you in two ways, the response of receiving the word and the response of scattering the word. He will hold you accountable for that response. But then there's the payoff to all those who bear good fruit. Jesus promises more is given. More of what? Gold and silver? No, that's not what Jesus is talking about. Actually, despite the fact that some people actually teach that when they're, working from this parable, Jesus spoke against that. He said the gold and the silver is what often lures people away from God's word. No, verse 25, you will get more of him, more understanding and being more like him through the work of God's Holy Spirit in you. His point is, if you hear and accept, you will begin to hear again and accept again at a deeper level. And this keeps going and keeps going. This is your maturity as a Christian, your sanctification or your move to holiness. So prove faithful at what you do with what you hear from God's word. You are in a battle for your allegiance, for the devotion of your heart. Others won't feel the same, and they might reject your message up front. Still others might accept what you say and be friends with you for a little while, and then they're off to the Bhagwan or someone just as bad. Still others may seem to accept it and then just abandon it after many years. There could be rejection, or there could be a kind of hypocritical acceptance. All of that is contained here. But when you prove faithful, our Lord offers more to you, more understanding, more insight, more inner peace, more like Jesus. Shall we pray now? Heavenly Father, scatter the seed to us. Give us the gospel. Tell us, remind us of what you have done in sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. And now we know you are holding us accountable for our response. So take control of our hearts, cleanse us from our sin, and give us eyes to see who Jesus really is. May we be found to be that good soil receiving your word and bearing fruit. And may we be obedient disciples called to scatter the seed of God's word far and wide, not just to the friendlies, but to the people who are hardness of heart, because we know that you can break through that hardness. We have family members we're praying for today, people close to us. We have friends that we've lost touch with because they've rejected us, and we're thinking of them. We have people sitting alongside us, and we're not sure where they stand with you. Lord, give us the motivation and, by your Holy Spirit, the gift of being able to understand you and scatter this seed today. And where there is good fruit, we'll be sure to give you all the praise. for you alone are worthy. We give thanks and praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.